and the inhabitants of thy heavens and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets and thy messengers whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change. And that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty wise.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. By Allah's name, we start this episode of today's special from Iran Radio. Today, Thursday, is the 26th of Jamadi al-Awwal, 1446 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 8th of Azar, 1403 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 28th of November, 2024 of the Christian Gregorian calendar.
Yourself, can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue, planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves, isn't this proof enough for us?
Salam to Holy Quran. Now we listen to verse 31 of chapter Al-Imran. We'll learn more about it.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Qul in kuntum tuhibbuna Allah fattabi'uni yuhibbukum Allah wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum. Wallahu ghafurur rahim.
Say, O Muhammad, if you should love Allah, then follow me. So Allah will love you and forgive you your sins. And Allah is forgiving and merciful.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The verse has been revealed about a group of the people of the book who used to say, "We are the lovers of the Lord." Then Allah defines the followers of the Apostle of Allah as the clear example of this love and tells his Apostle Muhammad, thus, say, if you love Allah, then follow me. If you are true in what you claim, that you love Allah, then follow the Apostle of Allah. This act of following is the same as obeying Allah. It is in this case that Allah loves you and forgives your sins.
Come from one, the seed has spread. The dawn of light has split from white to blues and reds. Behind it all, there must be more. Seven colors of day shed the light of your way. Have I found what is lying behind the fire in your eyes? Do you see what I see? What I see, what I see. See what I see, what I see.
The Power of Encouragement is the title of this episode of today's special. The best thing about the compliment is that it has a reciprocal effort, not only making the recipient feel uplifted, but also providing a sense of satisfaction and social connection for the giver. In today's world, with so much negativity, what better way to spread more light than by making a conscious effort to encourage one another through authentic expressions of admiration and praise? So don't underestimate the impact of a heartfelt compliment. Doing so is not only a simple act of kindness, but a powerful way to invest in your relationship and bring out the best in those around you. Become an encourager and watch positivity ripple outward.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. This is Ali, your host. Today, we're going to talk about the power of encouragement, how encouragement works. The rewards for any good work to the children, therefore, should be few and selective, that receiving such gifts don't become second nature for them. When a child gets into the habit of doing tasks with his own initiative, reduce the frequency of gifts and rewards. Encourage him to do the work. Many parents have gifts to their children getting higher grades at their examinations. This way, they encourage them to work harder at their studies. Perhaps this method is effective to some extent. But there is a big defect in this, that it affects the child's sense of responsibility. The child works hard at his studies only because he wants to get the gift by obtaining higher grades. Otherwise, he would not bother to work hard. For everything he does, he expects a gift in reward for that. One person writes, "I was admitted to the fourth standard of a religious school. I was very poor at the recitation of the Holy Quran. But my other classmates, they're very good at their recitation. And the very first class I attended, the teacher asked me kindly, "Can you recite the Holy Quran?" I replied nervously, "No, sir." He rejoined, "Don't worry, I shall give you the lessons. I know you can become one of the good students in the class. Whatever doubts you may have, don't hesitate to ask me." These kind words of the teacher encouraged me, and I started working with determination in my studies. By the end of the year, I excelled at recitation of the Holy Quran. I reached such a degree of proficiency that in the absence of the teacher, I was asked to conduct the class. I was also made responsible for reciting verses from the Quran at the morning assembly before commencement of the classes. IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
One question: how to encourage others? If you introduce someone, try to include something positive about them. That's a simple way. We'll listen more. It can be intimidating to walk into a room and not know anyone. If you are introducing someone, try to include something interesting about them, a strength or achievement perhaps, or maybe something they have in common with the person you are introducing them to. This can help people feel more comfortable, make a connection with the other person, and gives them some to talk about. It also shows you are interested in the person and you have taken the time to pay attention to them as individual. People like that and find it encouraging.
I only knew love when I knew love of thee. I sealed up my heart against my enemy. I stood long in converse with thee who doth see my heart's inner secrets, but thou I don't see.
Straightly, we go to motivational Islamic quotes in this part of today's special. That is from our book, Holy Quran, chapter At-Talaq, that is chapter 65, verses 2-3. And whoever fears Allah, He will make for him a way out and will provide for him from where he does not expect. And whoever relies upon Allah, then He is sufficient for him. This is one of my favorite ayahs of the Quran. When a Muslim have a taqwa, fear of Allah, Allah gives him opportunities and opens door for him that he didn't even know existed. Then Allah talks about the next great quality a Muslim can possess, tawakkul, trust in Allah and His plans. So make taqwa and tawakkul your new best friends. Life will get easier.
Big results don't come from big leaps. They come from small, steady, consistent effort. And if you commit to that, if you commit to that, if you commit to taking those small steps every day, then success isn't just possible, it's inevitable. When you hit that wall, the one where your body aches, your mind is exhausted, and every fiber of your being is telling you to quit, what do you do? That wall isn't just physical exhaustion or mental fatigue. It's something much deeper. It's the embodiment of every doubt, every fear, and every excuse that's ever held you back. It whispers in your ear, you can't do this. You're not strong enough. It's too hard. That's the voice of resistance. And that resistance, it's a universal force. Every person who has ever tried to achieve greatness has faced it. The difference between those who succeed and those who don't is not talent, not luck, but the ability to break through that wall when it stands tall in front of you. There's no avoiding it. The wall will come. It might be when you're chasing a dream that feels too big, when you're working on a project that's overwhelming, or when life just seems to throw more at you than you can handle. But if you want something bad enough, you've got to dig deep and confront that wall head on. And let me tell you, breaking through is not about brute strength. It's about resilience, grit, and the willingness to keep going, even when everything inside you is screaming to stop. That wall is made of doubts. Every what if that has ever crossed your mind stacks up like bricks in front of you. What if I fail? What if I'm not good enough? What if I'm not good enough? What if they're right and I don't have what it takes? Doubts can paralyze you, can make you turn around and walk away before you've even tried. But here's the thing, those doubts are not real. They are illusions, shadows of your insecurities, reflections of your fear. And fear is temporary. The pain of failing might sting, but it fades.
That was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us, and inshallah we meet you soon. Fi amanillah.
They told me that I'm crazy, who you praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were like, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salam and welcome to this episode of the Hadith of the Day. Lady Fatima salamullah alayha, in a sermon, addresses some of the wajib actions in Islam. And during that sermon, she also mentions this phrase, فَرَضَ اللَّهُ الطَّاعَةَ نِظَامًا لِلْمِلَّةِ وَالْإِمَامَةَ لَمَّا مِنَ الْفُرْقَ. So yeah, she actually says that the obedience to the leaders, the true leaders of Islam, the infallible leaders of Islam, is like what gives, like what organizes and brings all the Muslim Ummah together. And the Imam is the cause and the pivotal axis to unity. So in a conversation or a discussion between Hisham, one of the great companions of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and one of the person, I don't recall his name, who denied the role, any role for the imams in the society, he brings this proof. He says, do you have eyes, do you have ears, do you have this or that? And every time that person says, yes, 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 and what kind of questions are these? And then Hisham says, do you have brain? He says, yes, I have brain. What do you do with your brain? I can manage and handle and it gives orders to all the other parts or the limbs. And Hisham says, this is the role of the imam. You know, it's like brain in the body. And Imam is the leader of the society, the people. And he manages all the affairs and aspects of their lives. So if they follow the Imams, they would go, they would get guided. As the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam puts it in the Hadith of Thaqalain, the famous and authenticated Hadith of Thaqalain, in which he says that if you follow Quran and Ahlul Bayt both, you will not go astray. So this is a guarantee. If you follow them, truly follow them, you will not go astray. And this needs, of course, knowledge of their legacy, how to follow them, what is truly following them. That is another issue. So unfortunately, we see that during the history of Islam, during the history of Muslim nation, we have had different sects, different ways to go, and because people did not have unity and agreement on following the imams, and this was because of many things. So it caused this disunity and differences, arguments, conflicts, etc. So leadership is a very essential and crucial issue that we should pay attention to. And yeah, we should follow the 12 imams. Inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danesh, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانا ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host, Mahdi, and we're joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi. And Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of this program. Thank you for having me, Brother Mike.
Thank you for accepting our invitation, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program consists of several parts, all pertaining to the Holy Quran. At first, we are talking about a famous Quran reciter, and then we are going to listen to a recitation by that famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation, and then beside all these parts, we are going to have some other Quranic parts which are going to be presented to you throughout the program. So don't go away. On August 12, 2010, Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, at a Quranic meeting said, if we do not learn from the Holy Quran, we would not be strongly advised to recite it. We should pay attention that the goal is not simply to create and disperse vocal waves in the air. It is not the goal. And the goal is not to enjoy the Holy Quran like the way we enjoy a poem which is recited by a person in a good voice and in a rhythmic way. The goal is not to enjoy the Holy Quran this way. All these prerequisites, that is to say, reciting the Holy Quran and what promotes this recitation in society, which is having a good voice, are for the sake of understanding the Quranic concepts. Good voice is only one of the elements which promotes recitation in the society and which attracts hearts towards it. Today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Mohammad Ewaz. He was an Egyptian reciter who was born in the rural area of Damyat Governorate in 1933. At the age of 5, he lost his father, who was very pious and a reciter of the Holy Quran. Then his uncle adopted him and helped him learn the recitation of the Noble Quran. So when he turned 7, he performed his first recitation before people of the village. Then he learned tajweed and recitation rulings and memorized the Noble Quran. When he was a teenager, he took part in a provincial Quran competition for the first time and he managed to rank first in the competition. He entered Egyptian Quran Radio in 1977. He traveled to many countries including Thailand, Netherlands, Russia, and United Arab Emirates. He passed away in 2002. May Allah bless his soul. Now it's time to listen to the recitation of Surah Ar-Rum, verses 20 to 22, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Ayvaz, preceded by its English translation. Let's enjoy it.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful. And among his signs is that he created you from dust, and then, behold, you are human beings scattered. And among his signs is that he created for you from among yourselves mates, that you may find repose in them, and he has put between you affection and mercy. Verily in that are indeed signs for a people who reflect. And among his signs is the creation of the heavens and the earth, and the difference of your languages and complexions. Verily in that are indeed signs for people of sound knowledge.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن آياته أن خلقكم من تراب ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون ومن آياته خلق السماوات والأرض واختلاف ألسنتكم وألوانكم إن في ذلك لآيات للعالمين صدق الله العظيم.
Dear audience, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and what you just listened to was recitation of Surah Ar-Rum, verses 20 to 22, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Ayval. And now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, this was a very beautiful recitation. And, this reciter has a very clear voice.
Yes.
He has a very special voice. And, it's very relaxed. And at the same time, it's very audible and clear and loud. And these are very beautiful verses. It's about the creation of the human being and how Allah made mates from the human beings themselves and how they take comfort in them. And how he made affection and mercy between them. These are very beautiful verses. And Sheikh Iwald, he recited these verses very beautifully. Because, we have a narration from the Holy Prophet. The Prophet says, حَسِّنُوا الْقُرْآنَ بِأَصْوَاتِكُمْ فَإِنَّ الصَّوْتَ الْحَسَنَ يَزِيدُ الْقُرْآنَ حَسَنًا. It means, recite the Qur'an with a beautiful voice, or make your recitation of the Qur'an beautiful with your voices. Make the Qur'an beautiful with your voices, because a beautiful voice and melody increases the beauty of the Qur'an. Okay, let's go over the rules of tajweed.
Good idea.
What's interesting about verse 20 and 21 is that there's a lot of rules of nun sakina. Wa min ayati, we have ilha.
Manifestation.
An khalaqakum, another ilha.
Yes.
The nun is pronounced clearly, completely. Min turab, we have ikhfa. Antum,
again ikhfa.
Another ikhfa. Antum bashar. This is not a rule of nun sakina, but it's a rule of mim sakina, which is similar to iqlab.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can see that these ikhfas and nun sakinas, they increase the, they make the rhythm more beautiful.
Yes.
They improve the rhythm of the verse. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابٍ ثُمَّ إِذَا أَنْتُمْ. See, these are all ghunnas, and it makes it very beautiful. And Sheikh Muhammad Siddiq al-Minshawi, he has recited these verses so beautifully.
Yes.
And you just have to listen to it many times, over and over. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ. And one thing is that the Maddul Munfasils are lengthened to four vowel counts. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَكُمْ. And لِتَسْكُنُوا, the scene was pronounced with the correct timing. The pause that you have to make on the letters. Scene has the highest timing, the longest timing actually.
Because it is a weak fricative.
It's a weak fricative. It's a letter of Rahawa. Or for example, أَلْسِنَتِكُمْ, the scene was pronounced again with the correct timing. The maqams that were used in this recitation were Hijaz. The beginning was Hijaz. It was very beautiful. Hijaz is a very strange maqam. Abdul Basit, he uses this maqam a lot. And it's very beautiful.
Yeah, it's impressive, I think.
Yes, it's, you know, it's just, it's like a different world. Whenever you listen to Hijaz, it's like it's from another world. Yes, you know, Hijaz has a kind of rhythm, because, you know, originally the melody and the tune of Hijaz was used for the camels in Hijaz. They used to recite certain poems using this maqam, and the camels, they would walk. They would start walking and moving. And because of the rhythm that it has. And it reminds you of the desert of Arabia, of Hijaz. And usually this maqam is used for talking about whenever the verse is about the signs of Allah. These are all signs of Allah. Excellent. Hijaz is an excellent maqam for conveying the meaning whenever it's about the signs of Allah. وَمِنْ آيَاتِ, of His signs is that He created you from dust. And of His signs is that He created you for you mates from your own selves. Among His signs is the creation of the heavens and the earth. And at the end, at the end, he says, the verse says, there are indeed signs in that for those who know. And he recites this part of the verse in Maqam Nahawand as a conclusion.
Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.com. Until next program, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. من
أزحاف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن
This is
for a better life.
For a better life.
فرمود بعثتُ لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, "I have been sent to complete noble manners."
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم to all of you, dear listeners of For a Better Life. This is Nahid, being honored to host you on another episode. Today, I am going to start with a very interesting question, which is, are you concerned about your own fate? Like the other day, when I was just like talking to some teenagers and like the new generation, I realized that they had some nice points to make. And one of the points that they made and the questions they asked was, what if Allah is just proving everything and showing everything and paving the way for all the things that I am supposed to do or either not to do or prevent me from doing those sins? Then what is my responsibility here? Am I going to be questioned on something that He, the Creator, pushed me towards doing? And yeah, the question was a good one, like, not considering it as something rude or, I don't know, this actually shows wisdom and thought that a teenager is putting into his or her own religion. So today we're going to discuss this, like starting from one verse of the Holy Quran. We have it mentioned, who will not be questioned as to that which he does when they will be questioned, and he is the doer of what he will. Another verse from Quran. He created the creatures, making the fate of some to be in heavens and some others in fire. And then he is so beneficent and merciful towards his bondmen, doing not injustice even to the weight of an ant. Another Quranic verse. And thy Lord is not at all a tyrant to his servants. So connecting to the Quranic verses that I just mentioned some, we have it mentioned in our narrations, and we do have it from the verses of Quran, that our fate is to some extent, yeah, clear. Like, we entered this world, and by our free will, we chose our way. But what does this free will mean? You know, one of the reasons that the new generation sometimes find it confusing is that they don't know that some stuff are not going to be that clear. Like, we need to think, search, and believe that we are in this world. And at the moment, am I there to decide, like, if fate has been written and everything is just controlled and just some, like, walking robots? We had the robot uprising and then human being entered this world. No, this world is not that easy. When I answer the question, let me start it by my own answer. Like, I asked the boy to close his eyes and then tell me, what does he want to do? And he simply mentioned some actions. Like, he said, I want to drink water. Then I said, did you make this decision? He said, yes. And I went, like, if I give you coffee, do you want it? And the boy went for no. Then I talked to him this way, that now open your eyes and tell me, who made the decision of drinking water? I said, it was me. And this example made him think. I didn't explain it, but he gave it a thought. And then he realized and told me that, yes, I made the decision, like what I am doing in my own life. So we are in this world. We do have fate. We have one Creator who has just paved the way for us, helped us. He listens to us. But at the same time, he has equipped us with free will. Another Quranic verse mentions, and he who hath done an atom weight of evil shall see it. So this also shows us that when we encounter such contradictions in comprehending the verses and not understanding the issues of Islam, then we understand that man against his own self shall be a witness, and he is being alone to be answerable and to answer about his acts. Another Quranic verse mentions, and yeah, desire not save what God desireth, or verily God leaveth to stray whomsoever he willst and guides, and he guides he whomsoever he willth. It is not only us, but the most of Muslims are experiencing the paradoxes. Therefore, when inquiring any scholar about the issues of fate and destiny, they can never find out what the question can truly be, and they sometimes simply say it is a subject into which we should never indulge. Use of silence.
Your mercy, your love is all I need.
Your love is all I need.
All I need.
Your love is all I need.
All I need.
Your love is all I need.
Welcome back to For a Better Life, discussing the topic of fate and destiny. When being questioned by any teenager, any person, we simply just start to think at first, like the first reaction can be thinking. But after introducing all the issues, we can just come to the realization that in Quran, reading the verses and narrations, we for sure come up with the answers as well. Like we have verses that are talking about the fact that we are being responsible for our fate and destiny. Like also Imam Ali alayhi salam has mentioned the narration I'm going to tell you right now. When he was giving a reply to someone who asked him about fate and destiny, he has said, "Woe to you, you take it as a final and unavoidable destiny to which we are bound to act. If it were so, there would have been no questions of reward or punishment, and there would have been no sense in Allah's promises or warnings. Or on the other hand, Allah the Glorified has ordered his people to act by free will, and has cautioned them and refrained them. He has placed easy obligations on them, and has not put heavy obligations. He gives them much reward in return for little action. He is disobeyed, not because he is overpowered. He is obeyed, but not under force. He didn't send down prophets just for fun. He didn't send down the book for the people without purpose. He didn't create the skies, the earth, and all that in between just in vain. That is the imagination of those who disbelieve. Then woe unto those who disbelieve because of the fire." So we have punishment there. Yep, this is really deep and understandable. We have punishment, we have reward, we have Allah's care and help for us. Not for nothing. Like he is there punishing us when needed, helping us when needed, even having our back whenever we need help in our life. But the reason for all these stuff, the reason for the creation, for having the holy books like Quran, the prophets, all of them are sent down because of our free will. Like we are free in this world, we are there to make our own decisions. And yeah, for sure, he's also guiding us, but not just making us doomed to the fate that he desires. So let's take a look at the poem written by Sa'di, which is concerning this issue at the same time. He has written, "Happiness comes from the favor of God, not from the might of the powerful. If the heavens bestow not fortune, by no valor can it be obtained. The ants suffer not by reasons of its weakness, the tiger eats not by the virtue of its strength, since the hand reaches not to the skies, except as inevitable the fortune that it brings. If thy life is destined to be long, no snake or sword will harm thee. When the fated day of death arrives, no one can change anything." So we can see here that the fate is something that for sure Allah has provided us with. But we cannot disconsider the fact that we do have free will in our life. We are free to make the decisions that we desire. And yes, yet we can choose the way that we want with his guidance and knowing that he is always there for us. Well, this was all for today's episode. Until another time, I wish you farewell. I wish you good times. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
many prizes. We changed the desert into oases. We built buildings of different lengths and sizes, and we felt so very satisfied. We bought and bought and couldn't stop buying. We gave charity to the poor 'cause we couldn't stand the crying. We thought we paid our dues, but in fact, to ourselves we're just lying. Oh, I'm walking with my head lowered in shame for my place. I'm walking with my head lowered for my race. Yes, it's easy to blame everything on the West, when in fact our focus should be on ourselves. I'm walking with my head lowered in shame for my place. I'm walking with my head lowered for my race. Yes, it's easy to blame everything on the West, when in fact our focus should be on ourselves. Is it satisfied?
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say La ilaha illallah. Never forget to say La ilaha illallah.
IRIB English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
The Last Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah.
You are a true God.
To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A very warm welcome. This is The Last Savior. This is your host, Zainab. And you are listening to the program, The Last Savior, which is about the Imam of Time, Imam al-Zamana, Jalla Hatala Faraja. And in this program, we give you more and more information about the Imam of Time. As Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who dies and is ignorant about the Imam of his time will die the death of an ignorant. And the hadith that we discussed in the beginning of the program is also from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He will fill the earth with justice. His imam will fill the earth with justice. As we are seeing the tyranny and oppression around the world right now, as we can witness things in Gaza and around the world. Well, to explore more on the topic of Mahdaviyat, we have a special guest in the studio. Dr. Ali Alavi. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome, sir.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we have been discussing about the phase of communication of Imam. His saying and his literature, well, we said that the sayings phase is divided into three. We talked about the birth to Imamate, how Imam communicated. And then we were talking about the minor occultation phase when the Imam is communicating through his deputies, specific deputies through Tawqiyah and also through supplications and through ziyarats. So we were talking about the Ziyarah al-Yasin and Ziyarah Nahiyah in the previous episodes. So what else were the ways of Imam to communicate? Would you like to expand more on the ziyarats?
Yeah. In order to grab the attention of our respected listeners to what we have been discussing so far, we have been saying that the kind of literature, sayings, or let's say statements that have been received from Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, they are divided into three phases, from the time of his birth till his imamate, that is at the time of the holy life of Imam Hassan al-Askari, and that we mentioned some of the statements of Imam alayhi salam at that time, that he was speaking to his father and his auntie in a lofty and eloquent Arabic. We went to the second phase of Imam's holy life, that is the time of his minor occultation and major occultation. In the minor occultation, Imam alayhi salam started with the concept of tawqi'at and tawqi' and letters that he sent and replied the letters of people and followers and companions. And then Imam alayhi salam took another tactic to be in touch with his followers and Shias, and it was through the du'as, the language of du'an supplications. Again, in continuation of the second phase, that is at the time of minor cultivation and major cultivation, we have the concept of ziyarats or pilgrimage. That is the supplications or du'as or texts that are recited in the holy shrines, or even the du'as that are recited in any time, and there is no specific time for them, like ziyarat Nahi Muqaddasa or like ziyarat Al Yasin, the way to talk to Imam. So these were among the initiatives of Imam Ali Salah. The next ziyarat, up until now, we introduced two ziyarats to respected listeners. One was ziyarat Al Yasin, that has come to us through Imam Ali Salah himself, how to talk to Imam, and series of ma'arif and Islamic teachings that we can receive in the ziyarah, and a sort of familiarity with lineage of Imam alayhi salam,
right,
the descendant of Imam alayhi salam, the holy descendant, and the way that they are connected to the Holy Prophet, and the way that our duty is to be in front of that. Again, in the second one is ziyarat Nahr Muqaddasa, that Imam alayhi salam talks to Imam al-Hussein, as connects the concept of Karbala to the concept of Zuhur and Advent of Imam.
Right.
So the third ziyarah that we are talking about today is ziyarat Rajabiyya. Again, this ziyarah or pilgrimage came to us, or this supplication came to us through one of the specific deputies of Imam alayhi salam by the name of Abul Qasim Hussein bin Ruh al-Nubakhti. That, again, this ziyarah is available in the books of Da'a, in the books of supplication, like Mafatih al-Jannah and other books. And we said that the theme in all of these du'as and ziyaras is to strengthen this relation to Imam alayhi salam and ask for the appearance of Imam alayhi salam.
Right.
And this request and ask for reappearance of Imam alayhi salam and advent of Imam alayhi salam has a benefit for us first.
Right.
And it shows again that Imam alayhi salam, he himself is more eager to reach us.
I mean,
to be in touch with us.
Indeed.
Like, as we said, that the Imam alayhi salam is more kind than parents to
themselves,
the people, to his followers. It is exactly the same. Since Imam is eager, is interested, is fond of us, to meet us sooner, he prays for us and he tells us to pray for his advent.
Reappearance,
again.
Yeah. We'll discuss more with you, Dr. Alavi. Let's take a short break here. The listeners don't go anywhere. Stay tuned.
أهدى سنه مهديون في الأزمان شع ضيه ربنا في العالمين أضفع له نور أليق والظالم ابتده من أجل السالك أهدى سنه.
This is the last savior we're talking about, the ziyaras that are from Imam, one of the ways to communicate with the people. And we were here to explore about ziyaras and Rajabiyya. Yes, Doctor.
Well, so we have been saying that the common theme in all of these ziyaras and supplications that came to us by Imam alayhi salam is on finding this ma'rifah and knowledge about Imam alayhi salam, Imam
right.
Mahdi alayhi salam, Imam of that time. Because they are going to prepare us for the time of his advent. And as we said, the advent of Imam alayhi salam has benefits for us and benefits for him as an imam, the leader. Imam is in isolation, is in a hidden life, then he will be in the society of his own people. So this is more interesting for Imam to see his followers, to see his companions. So we recommend all the brothers and sisters who are listening to us to commit themselves to recite all these ziyaras and supplications that have been received by Imam Mahdi alayhi salam. All these ziyaras and supplications that are from Imam Mahdi alayhi salam are known to come from a muqaddasa source. We call them this ziyara or this du'a is from Nahi Muqaddasa.
Yeah.
But the one that has been famous as Nahi Muqaddasa is the one that Imam alayhi salam addresses Imam al-Hussein and talks
right.
about the mourning and maqtal of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. But all of them are coming from a muqaddasa source. We call
right.
them, these are du'as and ziyaras coming from the
muqaddasa
source.
Right.
Yeah. So reciting them has lots of benefits, and actually it purifies us and it revives our hearts, and it prepares our hearts for a sort